Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Fly away is what you said to me. from stars. But it's hard, hard when you don't love me back. Love me back. Hey!
Alumbe jembe dumana. My name is Fruitland, your check is in the mail, Jackson, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Comrades, bedchamber he goes. He says, "Rise up, me loving comrade, let nobody know. It's a bright summer's morning and a bathing we'll go." So they walked and they talked until they come to the lane, and there they met with the keeper of game. He says, "Go back, Willie Leonard, do not venture in. There's deep and false water in the lakes of Champlain." But Willie stripped himself off, and he swum the lake around, and he swum to an island, but not to dry ground. He says, "Go back, my comrade, do not venture in. There's deep and false water in the lakes of Champlain." Mm-hmm. mother's bedchamber she goes. She says, mother, oh mother, I have had a true dream, and I dreamed I saw Willie in the cold watery stream. It was early next morning, Willie's mother was there, a wringing of her hands, tearing her hair. She says, murder of murder, was nobody nigh, but to venture their lives for my own darling boy. So we'll all go down to Martin's by the shore, hire us a small boat as we've done before. We'll row the dark waters all around and around, till we see if Willie Leonard's fair body can be found. Fine sight, that before and 20 young men, all dressed in white, would take him to the graveyard and lay him in the clay, and we say, farewell, Willie, and go weeping away. To see Willie's sister would grieve your heart sore. To see Willie's mother would grieve your heart more. To see Willie's sweetheart would give your heart pain. Deep and false water in the lakes of Champlain.
Yeah. Maisha yako dunia, maisha yako dunia. Dunia yako dunia, dunia yako dunia.
Badunia dunia dan, nyenya saramu nyenya leti. Nadoe kano sinye de duna.
Thank you. Hello, this is Nat Johnson and you're listening to Sheffield Live, number one for Sheffield music.
بيك تكون رواية حكي لي على ناس زمان حكي لي على ألف ليلة وليلة ولا لونجة بنت الغولة ولا ولد السلطان حاجيتك ما جيتك ودينا بعيد مدى الدنيا حاجيتك ما جيتك كل واحد منا في قلبه حكاية كل واحد منا في قلبه حكاية احكي وانسى باللي احنا كبار في بالك اللي رانا صغار ونمنو كل حكاية حكينا عالجنة حكينا عالنار ولا الطير اللي عمره ما طار فهمنا معنى الدنيا حاجيتك ما جيتك ودينا بعيد مدى الدنيا حاجيتك ما جيتك كل واحد منا في قلبه حكاية كل واحد منا في قلبه حكاية كي عراوي كي ما حكاو لك ما جيت ما تنقص من عندك قالي شفا ولا بلاك حكي ونسينا مهاد زمان خلينا في كان يا ما كان في كان يا ما كان حاجيتك ما جيتك ودينا بعيد مدى الدنيا حاجيتك ما جيتك كل واحد منا في قلبه حكاية كل واحد منا في قلبه حكاية
Stop chewing. This is Jeff Wayne, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
My obstinate uncle. My obstinate uncle once went to the sea with my mum and my dad and my cousins and me. We went in a yellow and green coloured bus, and the crowd of us made a magnificent fuss. My uncle, he's mum's younger brother called Ernie, was in a great mood for most of the journey, till he and my mum had a slight disagreement about what a sign pointing down to the sea meant. Still, that was soon over and nobody grumbled, as down through the sandhills we rumbled and tumbled, and into the sea with an almighty splash, then off up the sand in a hurricane dash. We had a fine picnic, the food it was grand, though everything was slightly covered in sand. Then went for a walk through the edge of the waves and found some alarming piratical caves. We plucked up our courage, went in and explored for ages and ages until we got bored. Dad had been watching, and on our return he asked us quite anxiously, "Where's Uncle Ernie?" It seemed he'd gone off after lunch rather grumpy, complaining the sand was too lumpy and bumpy, and said, "If I look, I'm quite certain to hit on something or other more solid to sit on." My father had gone for a stroll later on and kept an eye out for where Ernie had gone, but got a bit worried when nowhere around, though he looked high and low, could my uncle be found. Myself and my cousins joined in on the search through the tea house, the pub, and the old ruined church. Then went back to Mum in a state of despair, till little Teresa cried, "What's that out there?" We looked where she pointed, right over the strand, and saw a small shape, just the size of your hand. And so we ran and we ran, but as we drew nearer, the shape it grew larger and queerer, for there on the edge of the water he sat, in his trousers and blazer and Panama hat. A long time ago there had once been a pier that had fallen to ruins for many a year, but down in the rubble, on one of the beams, old Ernie discovered the chair of his dreams and sat there as happy could be, with his shoes and socks off and his toes in the sea. He sat while we went for a swim and a run, built sandcastles, sunbathed and had lots of fun. And when we came back after taking a walk, he and my mother were having a talk. And as we drew nearer, being children and curious, we heard her say, "Ernie, please don't make me furious. You know how you suffer when you've had a soaking. When you're laid up in bed, you'll know I'm not joking." He said, "There's no need to make all this alarm. A drop of sea water will do me no harm." Said Mother, while throwing her eyes up to heaven, "You're worse than young Peter, and he's only 7. Come on now, please, Ernie, just don't be absurd." But he sat there, refusing to utter a word. Quite soon we discovered our little commotion had drawn a good crowd to the edge of the ocean, and watching the tide, it was rising quite fast, some people laid bets on how long he might last. By now there was water right over his knees, and people were saying he'd certainly freeze. And Peter said, "He'll get a cold in his bum, and got an 'I'll deal with you later' look from our mum." The sun was beginning to sink to the west as the water was rising around Ernie's chest. And then, as we noticed the first shining star, my mother said, "Ernie, this joke's gone too far." They all tried to move him, but so tight he gripped, they only got soaked as they slithered and slipped. When the water was lapping right under his chin, my dad came along and said, "Ernie, you win. Please do believe me. You've nothing to prove. We won't think less of you now if you move." But he sat like a statue in stone, though I think, when the grown-ups weren't watching, he gave us a wink. Dad said, "He was born for a watery grave," as the Panama hat floated off on a wave, and all we could see was his pipe and some bubbles, and sad mother sighed. There's an end to his troubles. Then, as we stood watching, our eyes growing dim, he stood up on the chair and dived in for a swim.